Now, many people interested in sustainability use the B Corp certification as a measure for good ethical business. But what happens when fast fashion powerhouse Princess Polly acquires this certification? Here to explore this dilemma is Dr. Harriet Richards, Senior Lecturer at the School of Fashion and Textiles at RMIT University. And she joins us now from New Zealand. Thank you for joining us this morning, Harriet. So glad to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
So just so for people who don't know, what is the B Corp certification and what set of criteria are companies measured against and what scores do they need to get in order to be certified?
Yeah, sure. So B Corp certification, the B stands for benefit. So they're really certifying businesses that are more than just about profit. So they're providing some form of social benefit or environmental impact. And they there's like five criteria that businesses are judged against. It's known as quite a rigorous third-party accreditation system. But funnily enough, even though it is known as rigorous, there are a potential about 250 kind of B impact assessment points that you can score, and a business receives accreditation if they meet a score of 80, so 80 out of 250. So that kind of seems to me reasonably low, but that's how the accreditation works.
Yeah, that does seem a little bit low for an accreditation.
So. Exactly. Sometimes it's like the math isn't mathing.
Yeah, all right, sure. Okay. The B Corp certification cost to acquire and renew, how does this pose as a challenge for small sustainable businesses as an opportunity for bigger, maybe not so sustainable businesses? It seems a little bit of an unfair advantage, perhaps.
Yeah, it does cost quite a lot. And that is from the research that I've done with small ethically minded businesses who are already coming from that sustainable standpoint, it can be a barrier to entry. So there are social enterprises like the ones that I've worked with, such as Clothing the Gaps, who have sought out that accreditation because it is quite meaningful, and it's a way that they can kind of go through their checks and balances. So it sort of verifies what they're already doing. But for some businesses, it's just too hard. Like, it takes a lot of time as well. Princess Polly, which is a big company which has a lot of resources, they said they were pursuing this certification for 2 years. So it took them a long time to go through all of those checks and balances, plus the costs involved. So for a small business that has far less resources, that can be a big barrier.
And so just on Princess Polly, so give us a bit of background as to who Princess Polly is and why their certification is now so troubling. Does it unearth some issues with the certification itself?
Yeah, so the business itself was started on the Gold Coast, so it's like got that Australian connection, back in 2010. So it's been around for a long time. But in 2018, they were acquired over 50% share by an American company, which has actually bought up quite a few Australian brands. But it's really gone in the direction of an ultra-fast fashion brand. Mm. So they're producing a lot of quantity of garments at very low costs. So actually in the fashion sphere, it's kind of a competitor to Shein. It's, you know, high quantity, low quality, low cost. But what they've really marketed themselves as is a sustainable alternative to places like Shein. So they're wanting to create sustainable fast fashion, which perhaps is a bit of an oxymoron. And they're wanting to create sustainable fashion that's affordable for everyone. So those are some of the kind of catchphrases that we can unpick a little bit and question. Yeah.
So let's go a bit deeper into that. So what is the issue with perhaps having a sustainable fast fashion? So why are those two terms sort of incompatible with each other?
To me, they are. If we think about sustainable, it's about reproducing with the materials or the resources that we already have to keep at a sustainable level. So we're not overproducing. And to me, what a brand like Princess Polly is doing is overproducing, and they're also incentivizing overproduction. So there's kind of two things happening there. Why they're kind of able to say that they're sustainable is that they're using, they've got a sustainable range, a low impact range, which is a works out to be about 30% of what they produce is this low impact, if you like. That's what they call it. And really what that means is that they're using more sustainable materials. So they're using more cottons, more natural fibers, but also they're using cellulose that's perhaps more sustainable than others, or they're using recycled polyester rather than virgin. That is, though, only 30% of their range. So the rest, the other 70%, is a free-for-all.
Yeah, right.
But I think, to me, the issue is the overproduction. So that's fundamentally a business model that's unsustainable. So that's where the issue is for me.
Yeah. And so how did they get their B Corp certification if only 30% of their product line is considered sustainable?
The checks and balances are about all sorts of facets of the business. So that's why it's kind of thought of as being a holistic third-party accreditation system. So there's all these other forms of accreditation that are about certain aspects. So there's GOTS standard, which is about organic cotton, and that's really just about organic cotton. Or there's fair trade, that's about the trade within a supply chain. There's Ethical Clothing Australia, which is just about labour rights. But for B Corp, it's really about the business as a whole. So it's able to certify certain parts of that business, the business practices. So it's not just about the fibres that are being used, for instance. It's also about where things are coming from or how workers are treated. There's very little evidence that workers in the Princess Polly supply chain, for instance, are being paid a living wage, but there's other criteria within the B Corp certification that they can get ticks on. So they may be treating their workers in Australia really well, for instance, who are, you know, in their office. There's other ways that they can get around that. And that's what, you know, when there's the 80 points that they have to receive, there's lots of other things that aren't ticking those boxes.
Yeah, they received
86 points.
Right. And so how should we now interpret the B Corp certification? Would having higher expectations or higher minimums, such as a company with 100 rating, be a good idea for people interested in buying sustainably?
I need to also point out that B Corp is aware of this. There's been other controversies in the past about Nespresso, about the British brewery BrewDog. And so they have been really aware of this sort of backlash against the certification. So just this year, they announced that they've changed the standards and they've become more rigorous. But that's going to be quite a slow rollout, that these new standards are going to be implemented. And the other thing to worth noting is that once a brand is certified, in order to become recertified every 3 years, that brand or that company needs to demonstrate that their standards have improved. So you can't just rest on your laurels. So it'll be really interesting to see in 3 years' time whether Princess Polly is able to become recertified based not only on having to improve their practices, but to meet the new standards, which will be tougher. So it's a curious terrain to keep an eye on, because I think there will be a number of brands that will lose certification based on these new, stronger standards. But in terms of what it's looking like at the moment, and Princess Polly now has this certification for the next 3 years, it's really easy to search on the B Corp website and to look at the score that a brand has received. So then you can make your judgment, and it's all broken down quite clearly. So you can see where a brand has done well, where they're not doing so well. And so that's all very transparent on the website. And most brands are showing that on their own websites as well, but it's all available on the B Corp website. So I think that's certainly good, because we have the information to hand that we can say, oh, actually 86 isn't that great. I'm going to look for a brand that's received over 150 points, for instance.
Yeah, right. So, and if there's anyone listening who wants to shop sustainably, but then they're questioning the validity of the B Corp certification, are there any other rating systems or strategies out there that we can rely on to shop sustainably and ethically?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I was thinking about this, I went on the Good On You website, and they also have a rating for Princess Polly. It's they rate things quite differently. They've only got three criteria, but I think for Princess Polly, they've said not good enough. So, you know, they're doing some good things, like the use of more sustainable materials, but they really were like, oh, they're not doing well enough. And I think that's a kind of nice counterpoint, that website, the Good On You website. And then for Australian made, I mean, Ethical Clothing Australia is incredibly rigorous, But worth noting that it is only looking at labour rights, so ensuring that workers in the supply chain are being fairly paid, well compensated, and so forth. It's not accrediting the use of any materials or other aspects of the supply chain. So there's certainly lots of other accreditations, but it can be very challenging to navigate that terrain because there's all these different tags, and it can be quite confusing.
Yeah, it does seem to be so. But interesting to see what happens in the next 3 years. Well, once B Corp raise their minimum certifications, make them more rigorous. Harriet, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been absolutely wonderful to have
you
on.
My pleasure.
That was Dr. Harriet Richard, Senior Lecturer at the School of Fashion and Textiles at RMIT University, talking to us about the ambiguous credibility of the B Corp certification.